a chance to sign in?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Welcome to the Downs Park Shoreline Improvements Public Meeting. My name is Mel Harlinski. I'm the project manager on the DPW side. As I said, it's going to be audio recorded, and questions and answers available 1 month from tonight's meeting to the attendees, and then anyone that received the original mail-in that we sent out. So as I said, my name is Mel Harlinski. I'm a project manager. Bruce Brucey, Department of Public and Rec. Bill Offit.
I'm Chief of Park Operations on the Kickball side.
Fisher, Superintendent Towns Park.
Is that everyone? From Arrow County. And we have Anna Johnson.
Hi.
And Evan Mazur from Bayland. And they're the engineers on the project. Anna is going to continue the presentation and talk about what we're doing at Downs Park. And then at the end, you guys will have a chance to answer. I'll answer any questions you might have.
Okay, hi everyone. I'm Anna Johnson. I'm a coastal engineer with Bayland Consultants. We are the design consultants for this project. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about the agenda, what I'm going to go through. We're going to do a little bit of background of this project, some existing conditions and some photos of what it looks like now. We'll present the design that we are proposing at this site, talk a little bit about schedule, and at the end there'll be some contact information. If you have any follow-up questions that you want to ask, I think there's a two-week period after the project's after the meeting's over to submit any follow-up questions or comments that you may have. Okay, so Downs Park, located at John Downs Loop in Pasadena, is approximately 240 acres of park area that has an amphitheater, has some natural areas, picnic areas, playground, a fishing pier, walking trails, kayak launch. And what we're really focusing on today is the 2,250 linear feet of shoreline along the Chesapeake Bay in particular. So the project stretches from where the existing dog beach is down to the revetment in front of the overlook area. And so some of the features that we're looking at is that, you know, the dog beach is not currently ADA accessible. So one of the project goals, which I'll present in the next slide, talks about incorporating that feature into the design. And then also just making the park more coastally resilient. It's experienced some damage in the past, some of the infrastructure due to large storms and waves that have come in. So what can we do to kind of help decrease the vulnerability of the park? So I'm going to kind of start from the northern reach and work my way down to the three different areas that we will be focusing on. So I'll start with the existing dog beach. Right now it's about 4,300 square feet. It's on the northern extent of the property, directly adjacent to some private property owners. To access it, you have to go up kind of a steep paved path and then down some steps through a gate. So this doesn't meet ADA accessibility. And also, it is bordered on by the freshwater pond that's directly adjacent on the behind the dog beach. So then moving south to kind of the existing beach area now, it's a narrow beach. It's only about 20 feet wide. It can be maybe 50 feet wide when during some blowout tides, and it's actively eroding. Erosion has been measured here to be about a foot per year. We're losing about a foot per year of this beach. And not only that, but it's very susceptible to large storm events, such as the Halloween storm of 2021 that actually came in and damaged the walking path and necessitated this emergency repair, where you can see. So this was the damage that occurred after the storm to the path and the blowout. This is the narrowest part of the beach here. And then, so it necessitated some emergency repairs. So it added some gabion baskets when the path was repaved to kind of help protect it. So that is what the existing condition is for that area. And then finally, the third reach that we will be talking about today is from south directly of that beach area, there is a revetment there, and then there's a concrete pad that was originally designed as a boat ramp. And so that revetment, we did a shoreline assessment of that revetment, and we found that there was some scour occurring behind it. So this is what happens when, you know, you have waves that overtop it and kind of eat away at the ground behind the revetment. Because of the elevation isn't tall enough, and then the apron at the top isn't quite wide enough, so those waves are actually eating out the ground behind it. So that's shown in the bottom right picture and then the left picture. And then also some stones have been dislocated from the structure, so the waves have actually come in, grabbed the stone, and pulled it offshore. So that's what's shown in that top picture there. So some of the goals for this project when we started doing it was to provide increased shoreline protection to reduce the rate of erosion along that beach area. Also, they wanted to provide a large ADA accessible dog beach, increase the coastal resiliency of the park, the infrastructure, so that, you know, we didn't have to go back and do repairs after large storm events like we did in 2021. And then provide some natural areas for habitat enhancement as well. So these are just some general comments for the community meeting, the address of the project, of the project area. It's zoned as open space. The only school in the vicinity is Bodkin Elementary, which would have no impact. This project would have no impacts. There's no proposed lots. This is a shoreline improvements project, is how it's categorized. Limit of disturbance would probably be a little bit over about an acre, acre and a half, and we would be impacting the critical area, which is a resource conservation area, and the critical area buffer in particular, which is the 100 feet closest to the shoreline, floodplains, some tidal waters, some steep slopes, and some forests are kind of in this vicinity, in this area that we will be doing. And for stormwater management, we will be adding an ADA accessible path to the new dog beach, so there will be some stormwater management associated with that. Okay, so going into our proposed design. So this is, like I said, this is going north to south. This is the existing dog beach, where the plan here is to kind of bolster up this area to help protect that pond, add coastal resiliency, and make sure that pond doesn't breach. And since we're going to be moving the dog beach to another location, we're going to convert this into a living shoreline. So we're going to build a structure out in the water. You can see that there's the structure out there. Backfill with some sand, and then plant that area. The beach itself right now is relatively stable, but if we want marsh to grow there, then we're going to have to provide a very, very calm wave environment. So that's why we need the structure. And then the sand placement, we're going to raise it up just to give a bigger buffer so that any kind of storm waves don't come in and breach to the pond. And then the stairs themselves are going to be removed. We're going to stabilize that slope and then add some more shrubs and marsh plantings there as well. Yes.
How far offshore are you putting that breakwater?
So this one in particular, let's see if I can go back. Oh, I don't have a scale. So, but just gauging it. So if this is kind of where mean high water is, then looking at this, this is going to be about 50 feet. 50 feet to the outermost extent of the structure, I would say. So when you're looking at it, it'll look about, you know, if you're standing on the beach looking out, it's about 20 or 30 feet out from a visual perspective.
Would you be anticipating any trail down there for people, or is this going to be more removed?
Yeah, it's going to be more removed. Okay. This is going to be become kind of a natural area that's meant more for habitat than people, you know, people and trails. And
is there an existing trail to the pond in this area, or am I mistaken?
Oh, yeah.
There's a boardwalk. There's a trail that then leads to a...
If we can hold our questions to the end... Please, so that Shanda can just get through presentation, then we can go. If you need to go back to a slide and revisit it, no problem. Thanks.
All right. So like I said, we're moving south. Just for your orientation, this direction over here to my left is north. The direction to the right is south. So kind of if you're envisioning the park, that's where we are. So this is, there's the fishing pier would be about right here, and this is the existing revetment. And so this is where we're proposing to move the dog beach and then create a marsh area. So we're going to bolster up this area with quite a bit of sand. We're going to add some structures here to help keep that sand that we placed there in place. And then also add, like I talked about, that coastal resiliency. So, you know, this right here was kind of the narrowest part of the beach. You can see here is the trail, and then the shoreline kind of ended here. So that gives you a scale of how much we're adding to this area. So the dog beach itself is going to be about 15 to 16,000 square feet. So we're quadrupling the size of the dog beach. We're adding some stone protection structures. I think I just mentioned that. Adding some sand, and then behind it. Well, okay. Well, let me talk about the marsh first, and then we're going to take about a third of the area here and convert that into a natural area of marsh. With some low marsh plantings and some high marsh plantings. And then we're going to come into this back area, these right here, and just put some coastal dunes. So the coastal dunes are beneficial because they act as an extra barrier for incoming storms, but then they additionally, we allow them to erode, and they actually will help feed this area. So if a big storm comes in and erodes this, it'll help kind of keep this marsh area, that particular beach area, and then the marsh area over there, it'll help feed that sand there.
Is this near the pier, or where's the amphitheater on there?
The amphitheater would be...
All the way down here on the bottom, right?
All the way down on the
right. Oh, I see.
Right here.
Okay.
So, yeah, sorry. So the fishing pier would be about right here, and the amphitheater is there. If
that helps. I just wonder where the pier is. The pier on there somewhere?
It's not. It's right off the page. So this is the revetment. Okay. So if we were to extend this out, the pier would be about right.
Yeah, that's at high ground to the north.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the far left.
So then just a couple cross sections. So these are like pie slices through what I'm talking about. This is where that existing revetment is. We're going to build it up to about plus 5, so above mean low water. So we're going to build up the elevation quite a bit. Slope down at 10:1. Here's a picture, or here's a cross section with that vegetated dune there. So it's not a really big dune. It's a small dune, but it does add some elevation there. And then it adds some marsh grasses as well. And then this is more of the dog beach with the stone structure out in front, and then this is a cross-section of the marsh area that we're also proposing to kind of leave a portion of that for nature, and then a stone sill there. So that's what that is going to look like. And then the final reach that we looked at is that revetment that's in front of the overlook area. So this is the reach that I just presented on. And so you can see it ties into it. And there is revetment currently here. And then these are the benches for the overlook area, just to orient you once again. North is to my left, south is to my right. So what we're going to do is we're going to restore this revetment here. It's about 360 linear feet. We're going to put some larger stones. So here, kind of this is what the existing structure looks like. We're going to raise it up about a foot to a foot and a half. Add some larger, more appropriately sized stones so that they're not moving around during these large wave action events. And then for the areas that I showed in one of the previous slides and the existing conditions where we had some washout areas, we're going to bring in material and fill that in to kind of smooth out that slope there. Oh, and so the elevation of this is going to be to about a plus 8 above mean low water. Right now it's at about a 6, 6.5. For our ADA accessibility, we are starting from the Fernwood parking lot where there is some ADA parking there. We're going to just add a little bit of repavement to this trail here. Not a whole lot. Mostly the trail itself as it is meets ADA requirements. There are just a couple areas where the slope is a little bit too steep for ADA compliance. So we're just going to just add kind of a surface course on top of it to kind of meet those grades. But that's really going to be minimal work. And then where we get, so if you see here, this is the where the trail continues to the fishing pier. This one continues to the existing dog beach, and then this one is just what you would take to get to the amphitheater playground. So from this trail, we're actually going to create an additional trail using permeable pavers such as these, where these are, so instead of doing an asphalt that is completely impervious, you add these pavers and then you leave a slight gap in between them so they can actually store rainwater in there and not create more runoff into the critical area. So we're going to add these permeable pavers, about 185-foot long, 8-foot wide path, and that's going to lead from the path, from the paved trails that you walk every day now down to the new dog beach area. So in that sense, we're providing a complete ADA access from the ADA parking all the way to the new dog beach. And then, so just talking a little bit about our habitat enhancement areas. As part of this project, we're going to plant about 30 trees. We do have to take down a few trees for construction access and just to construct the project. So there will be some tree removal, so we'll have to mitigate for those trees that we're taking down. And then also, so just some bottom impacts. Whenever you impact the 100-foot buffer from the shoreline 100 feet back, there's mitigation requirements, as well as just enhancing some of the habitat. So we plan on adding 30 trees as part of this project, about 90 shrubs, and then 15,000 of the marsh plantings for the marsh areas. So the trees and shrubs, we'll be adding them. The shrubs themselves, some will go in that northern living shoreline area that is the current dog beach. Some of them are going to go here, kind of where the intersection, this is the amphitheater, is right here. You can see it actually in this picture. And then, some of it, not in front of, not directly next to the overlook area, but just kind of right to the north of that area. So we'll be adding those. So just to kind of increase some vegetation and habitat in that area. Okay, so for construction access, when we go to bid this project, we're going to allow the bidders to decide whether they want to come in through the water or whether they want to come in through the land. So if they chose to come in through the water, you could expect to see barges bringing in equipment and materials that way. It's highly unlikely they'll go with that option because of the really shallow water depths and the not so easy access to the site. So most likely they'll be coming in by land. So in order to accommodate their equipment and materials, we've set aside two potential areas for them to work with. The first one would be where the Fernwood parking lot is now. We're going to take a portion of the parking spaces there and fence it off, and they can stockpile and stage their equipment and materials here. And then they would access the existing dog beach, new living shoreline area through the trails that way. And then also they would be going through our newly paved they won't be going on the newly paved permeable pavers path, but they'll be going through that area that's designated for that to build this beach area here, the new dog beach and the living shoreline there. For the revetment work, we are designating this area for the bus loop, this part over here where cars don't go now anyway. We're going to designate that for the contractor staging and stockpiling and have them come in and access through kind of this main way and get to the project site to build the project. And that way it's minimal interference with the actual parking. The park will continue to be functional during construction, just having certain areas blocked off. All right, so just a recap of the goals. It was to provide increased shoreline protection to reduce erosion. This project does that. Provide ADA accessible dog beach. We hit that goal as well. Increase the coastal resiliency of the park infrastructure. We did that with the stone structures and the large marsh and beach buffers and the dune and the plantings. And then also provide natural areas for habitat enhancement with the multiple marsh and shrubs and trees we're providing for the project. So schedule, we are in what we designers call design development, which is where we kind of really get down to doing the calcs and coming up with what the final design, refining the design, taking it from a conceptual level to really just developing the documents that are going to be needed to bid the project. So we started the state and federal permitting process this summer, and we anticipate it's going to take about a year to get through all the permits that are going to be required for this. So and then after that, so let's say summer 2024, we get our permits. We'll then be finalizing any kind of last little details in the design, bidding the project, having a contractor, and then depending on our time of year restrictions. So because whatever the regulators will see what kind of sensitive habitats we have, and they may put a restriction on when we can actually work due to the sensitive species in the area. So we're looking at construction in late 2024 to be finished by around summer 2025. And I believe that is my last slide. I'm going to leave this up here. This is contact information for Mel Harlinski and Bruce Brucci as well. If you want to submit any, we're happy to take questions now, but if you have any questions that you think of, when you get home, you can submit them and they'll get recorded as part of this presentation.
If you go on the OPZ webpage under past meetings, there's a, and you find this meeting, there's a comment little tab that you can click and you can submit your comments through that, or you can also just email me your comments. So I think we're ready to take questions.
So first off, it sounds like a great project. And any questions that I have are not meant to denigrate your effort. It looks really, really sweet, really nice. Question on the, three or four years ago, remember when the dam spillover had to dump all the big logs and you had to go in and get that stuff out of the way? I'm sure you moved heavy equipment up and down the paths, but this looks like a serious amount of equipment that's going to have to go routinely on those paths. You just resurfaced them. Do you think they're going to have appropriately sized equipment, or are you guys going to assess or assume that some of this pathway is going to have to be redone as you move all this sand and this rock for all the investments coming up?
So, yeah, the contractor is required after the project to restore any areas to what they were before he started construction. So anything that's been damaged will be restored to the state it was, if not better than what, before.
Yeah, so the contractor has a choice of whether, he can add protection, so he can add some matting down or actually even build like a wood chip road over it if he doesn't want to go back and he doesn't want to risk damaging it and going back to restore it later. Or he can take that risk on himself. So we kind of try to leave some of those decisions up to the contractor, how best he or she feel that they can construct the project. And that way, that we usually get a little bit of a more competitive price that way.
Thank you.
Yes, Beth, there?
Is there any way to bring any of the materials in from the water side as opposed to from the land? Or does that not make sense?
It's very difficult because the water depths are shallow. There have been projects where we've required that. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's a little ridiculous because what they do is they have really large barges that sit out in the water. Like they need like 18 feet of water depth. So they sit really far out in the water. And then they have these little work barges. And then I think the last project we did where we required it, they had to have three barges that were just like, take from one, put it here, and then you had another piece of equipment that took from there and put it there in an effort to just get it close enough. And it was a lot more impacts to the shallow water habitat, and I think it just wasn't, it's not very practical, especially if the contractor has the option of potentially coming in by land.
To give you an idea, if you are there at low tide, you can literally walk almost a quarter mile out before you're over your head.
Yeah.
It's just a series of shallow sandbars,
especially in the
and you'd never get
And decent sized building. That's why it was not used, it was not even considered for a boat ramp, because you don't have the decks. Period.
Have to dredge it out.
Okay, going back to the dock area.
Okay.
And the path that you're going to put in, where is that path in relationship to the current little concrete leftover piece that used to be there and is still there for forevermore?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I did not speak to that little concrete piece. That concrete piece that is actually going to be removed, mm-hmm. and it is right, it's actually right here in this revetment part.
Okay, and the dog is up in
what is the existing beach area, yep. So, this is the existing, like, remember, this is north here, there's the bay, mm-hmm. that's south. That existing concrete little ramp is about right here, and then, so this is where the new dog beach area is going to be.
And so the little green dots, not the foliage, but the other one, is where you currently have the new... area that was so badly damaged that you took forever.
Exactly.
That part right
yep.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So where there's existing those, they put the gabion baskets filled with rock as kind of a temporary
which you can
protection.
Already see is
yeah. And
away.
So those will be removed, and we'll just replace it with sand and marsh plantings to act as more of a natural buffer.
So the materials you intend to bring in are mostly sand.
Mostly sand. It's quite a bit of sand. The rocks will probably come in as well. So how they'll likely construct it, like this, for instance, they're going to bring in a portion of the sand, and they're going to put the sand here, and then they're going to drive out onto the sand with their equipment and build that structure in that one, and then back their equipment out and add more sand and just grade it down.
When you reference that structure, is that like the structures they have at Fort Smallwood?
Yes.
Okay.
Very similar, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to seem like an obvious question, but the trail along the whole waterfront will be completely shut off then.
Yeah, for how long?
Because the last time the trail got wiped out in that storm, it was shut down for like a year and a half.
Just on the
beachfront
there?
There's really nowhere else through there.
You mean just on the beachfront there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the trail all along the waterfront will be shut out.
So I guess, really we'll work that through, like how we're going to phase the construction. If they're doing all their work in the northern part where the existing dog beach is, if they're going to do that part, then maybe we don't need to close this part down here, and then vice versa, we can reopen trails as they kind of finish up areas. That's definitely details we're going to work out with park operations.
There's really no other way through there on a bike. You have to kind of ride through the grass to get a bike through there.
Yeah.
That's the only way through
take
there.
Other trails, yeah.
No, there's other trails.
Yeah, but
this one would be kind of tough. So you might have to take a different you might just have to take a different path for
right view, yeah.
6 to 9 months. I'm not even sure how long construction is going to take.
As long as they don't coincide together, both ends of the park are doing construction at the same time, there's definitely ways around. So when you come up, if you're doing up north, when you come down past the amphitheater and come down just before you get to Fernwood, cut on that paved trail and then go north, it'll go around the construction and put you right back on the perimeter trail.
I've been riding that trail for 30 years, and I know the trails are. When it was shut down for a year and a half, there's just no simple way through there.
Exactly.
Just the way it's
going to
be then, okay.
Yes. So, hi. I work for the school system, and we run program out of Downs Park, and so we're looking at areas to relocate and so forth. And so I'm real concerned about your timeline, because that affects it, because currently we're right there at Fernwood Pavilion and the current dog beach and everything. So you're saying that construction would not start until you're thinking summer 24 at the earliest?
We're only in the design phase.
Right. Yeah.
Things could change dramatically depending on when we get our permit. So I don't think we can really say for sure when construction is going to start. This is just a rough estimate.
It won't be for at least a year. Yeah. I mean, permits take about a year, so.
Okay, so safely we could run it through the spring where we currently are.
Oh, yeah, this current spring, absolutely.
Right. Okay. All right, and then the other thing is that we plant trees with kids at the park, and they're in this area as well. And so I don't think that they'll directly be impacted by you're moving around, but will I be able to have access during construction to go in and water these trees?
No. Not kids in the, you won't have access into construction. No, you won't.
And actually, Tom.
You won't have access into construction areas.
So well, you see the yellowed area, stockpile?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The trees are going in above that, going up to the men's and women's bathroom and mechanical room.
Well, actually, that's exactly where you go. Currently, we're planting in front of Fernwood Pavilion in the No Mill. In the new area that we established.
Yeah, when we get to construction, Superintendent Fisher will be coordinating all of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're not going to decide that tonight.
Because I don't think we should be planting trees.
I would recommend that you speak with Nolly now, and he can tell you where, don't put trees there.
Right.
But the area that's no mow now is not going to be affected.
Okay.
That's far enough south.
So that'll we'll still have access to
You'll
that.
Still have access to
it. But am I going to be able to get up to get my water? Or I'll just
if
get
not,
water
we'll
maybe
make
at maintenance
we can
or
get
something.
It from.
Okay.
Yep.
Alright.
Yes.
Going back to the original dog beach, what kind of rise in elevation do you expect on the beach separating the pond from the bay?
The back of that part, the back of that beach is quite high, and by high I mean it's about 3 feet, 3 to 4 feet. So this part is actually going to be. So this is the sand fence kind of runs along here, and we're going to tie into that. And so here you can see it. So here's the sand fence, and then we're going to. This is all open beach right now. We're going to plant it with marsh vegetation. And so if you imagine what the elevation of that back beach is now, and we're just going to extend that forward,
The reason I ask, the pond, when it fills up, rainwater runoff, it floods our property.
Okay.
It floods us a good half acre, 3/4 acre,
uh-huh.
And we deal with it seasonally, twice a season. It's very bad right now. We're getting a lot of pond water. You build that area up, her whole front lawn will be pond.
Well, I can definitely say we're not going to be increasing the area here. So if the pond's here, if it was able to flow over this area already, it's going to be able to do the same.
Well, it's the canal runs into the pond, fills up with water, comes over, it's been a concern for 39 years now, and we're afraid you're going to disrupt it even more. We go to great expense to get rid of that water. We have our own canal. You're not accommodating us at all. There's nothing for that pond to be released back to the bay. That used to be a canal that would run from Botkin Creek all the way to the bay, logging. The logs all went down there, and the fence went in 1986, built 85, built up debris, and kept collecting debris and sand, and it went up higher and higher, and the flood just came over to us. The fence, the snow fence, should not have been put in. We fought it, but we didn't grease the right wheel. Can you accommodate us with some kind of release from the pond to lower the level of the pond?
I don't think that would be permittable, would it?
Well, it's that would be a first we have to, that would entail kind of doing a hydrologic study of the area exactly to know how it's flowing. What's the volume? What's the volume of water that's draining to that area? And then there would have to be some design done because I believe that's a freshwater pond. So we can't really hydraulically connect it to the bay because that would change the ecosystem completely of that pond if it started having that salinity.
Well, it's been draining for the last couple of hundred years into the bay.
It may drain into the bay.
We have pictures of it.
But it, whether the bay goes the other way. So if you're saying could we install a pipe, for instance, then we connect the two.
The bay's never come back.
So right. So we would. So in order to figure out a way to drain it, we'd have to. That would just be a kind of a larger study that would need to be done, and kind of a different project with different regulators in the room.
Well, we'd love for you to look at it.
Right now, we're not changing the hydraulics of the pond. We're not increasing the level. So it shouldn't have any impact on the pond, what we're doing.
Maybe we could re-discuss it with you and show you some pictures we have from your concerns.
It's a disaster.
That might be a broader conversation with Wreckham Park.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried that, too.
Yeah, we've had the conversation for years. With every superintendent, the first superintendent put the snow fence in. It was illegal. Then he did plant things in the pond that were not native to the pond. And
that's not me.
That's not you.
No, we have.
Now she's looking at me like I did. Not me. Long before me.
We've talked
to Pollock quite a bit. They have some issues too. One of the reasons, besides the ADA accessibility and so forth, and the scale of popularity of the Dog Beach, also trying to be good neighbors. I mean, they can attest to you where the Dog Beach is currently located. It might as well be their lawn because the dogs and the people are on their property all the time. That's one of that's probably not necessarily my major concern, but that's one of the reasons why I was looking to move it just to appease, be a good neighbor, because we're always the dogs and the people are always in their yard.
We remember the storm that we just had, and did you see the beach during that period when there was no Dog Beach?
What beach?
It was on
beach. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, that's why I'm wondering about the plantings, if they'll have a chance to survive, because when there's a storm, it's...
Well, you're putting a stone up in front.
Yeah.
It's going to break up that wave action.
It's going to make a huge difference. Putting the stone is going to make a huge difference. Huge difference. Yeah. Yeah, we have projects that have, if you've been to Fort Smallwood, we did that 2 years ago. The stone structure from Marsh Plains, Beverly Triton.
But I see that the beach is eroding there too.
Well, beaches are dynamic, so beaches are going to erode.
I mean,
by
it's
nature,
eroding a lot.
By nature,
So yeah, that's the other thing. You know, these are living shorelines. They're not meant. If we wanted to stop the erosion, we would be doing like revetments, kind of what they have in other areas of the park, like this area right here. This was a steep bank right here, so they didn't want it to erode anymore because all of this is supported by this. So, but living shorelines are allowed to be a little bit more dynamic. There's more sand movement. It reduces erosion, doesn't prevent it. And so that kind of keeps it living, right? So it's moving around. It's continuing processes, littoral drift and things, and other coastal processes are still occurring. So... yeah, some people are very sensitive. They see erosion and they say, "Oh, this project is a failure." But the idea is to reduce it, not to prevent it. When you do these other shorelines.
So when you talk about the structures that are out in the water, are they just a series of boulders to reduce that wave action, or is it actually like when you were first talking about it? It sounded like you were talking about and looking at the picture. Sounded like it was actually going to be like a concrete something or other, but it'll just be like a series of boulders.
The boulders themselves won't be dumped. Like it won't just be like a truck dumped a bunch of rocks into a place. They actually have to be, they're rocks, but they're kind of like a jigsaw puzzle together because that interlocking of them kind of helps them stay in place. Mm-hmm. So they are rock structures, but they aren't rubble mounds. So, yeah, we talk about them as if they're like concrete, but really and truly they are just individual rocks that are pieced together.
Okay. Yeah, if you get a chance, Fort Smallwood is only a couple years old. We did the same thing there. You can check that out.
But when they put those stones in, if I remember right, they had to have so many contact points with the other stones. Whereas when they built Downs Park 40 plus years ago, that was more of just a dump, the stone, and now it's good. But they didn't take into account the storms that we're getting now.
Yeah, this is more like kind of like a jigsaw puzzle with stones. They're not just dumped, they're carefully placed together.
Yes.
Interlocking, if you will.
I think when you do that also, you leave that gap in there. A lot of times sand is brought into that gap too.
Yep. The idea behind the living shorelines is that, you know, when you stop all erosion, a lot of times that has huge impacts to the coastal process because sand is supposed to be moving. That's what keeps beaches. So when you stop it completely, you know, that has a lot of impacts to other areas. So now MDE is mandating that you can't really build new revetments or new bulkheads or anything like that. They all have to have this type of design so that, yes, you have these gaps where sand can come in and out. So just kind of keep it flowing a little bit more and not so much impact on the neighbors.
Are there any other questions?
I guess it's implied, but the invasive species that are currently in the location that's going to be actively removed, I guess.
So in this location, there it's fine. Unfortunately, so I know what you mean, because this area here, there is a kind of a Phragmites marsh in this area. And even though it is a frag marsh, it's still a marsh. It's protected. So we are actually not going to be messing with it. So we're just avoiding it altogether. But, I mean, you bring up a very good point. It's invasive, you know, but it's still considered a protected habitat. Even though it's not ideal, it would be better if it was a native species. But
isn't that just going to colonize the planting over the Spartina?
That is, the county is actually very good about performing maintenance to prevent that from happening. Because it happens a lot of the shorelines that we've done together have, you know, you build a beautiful natural marsh right next to Phragmites that then spends all its time trying to get into it. So I think...
I had three parks this year post-construction that were sprayed with Phragmites as part of the maintenance. So yeah, we will definitely go in and spray for Phragmites in the areas that were constructed. Any other questions?
Continuing on that idea of invasives, the tree canopy going back onto land is overwhelmed with bittersweet and honeysuckle and a little bit of ivy. You're putting in new trees. You're putting in exposing earth. Don't you expect the seed bank from all of that to move into your tree canopy that you're installing? Is there an opportunity for the county? The county is now saying we want to address invasive species on county land to act on it, possibly get weed warrior volunteers to support the off the development zone, act on the invasive species, and try to push it back a bit.
That's not part of this project.
Would you feel that's an appropriate step to take so you're not introducing the opportunity for invasives to be all over your upper story and lower story that you've proposed a couple slides forward?
It's definitely an option. I guess it's a personal choice. My thing with invasive species is it's very hard to get rid of invasive species. It really is.
I'll be glad to speak with you after this.
That's more of a park and rec question. Yeah. DPW.
I'll be glad to speak with you.
I actually don't work for park and rec, so okay. That's more of a question to let Bill or Nolly know if you're concerned about invasive species. Maybe you guys can get together and
so are we.
Come up with some kind of a program to, you know, to eradicate them. But we have a very limited budget, and so we can't keep, you know, expanding it. So
it's not your budget. It's saying to the county, while we're here fixing and improving, let's get others that have budget to act on this area. So a significant zone of land is improved or protected.
Yeah, well, I mean, get together with Bill after it, and you guys can put your heads together and see what you can come up with.
Actually, have a meeting on that next Wednesday about invasives in general for the whole county.
And Bud Reeves part of that?
Yes, he's leading the meeting.
Good.
Anything else?
Where is the sand for the fill going to be sourced from? Is it going to be from dredge from the Patapsco, or where is that coming from?
It's coming from a sand quarry. It's going to be bought. Bought sand, yeah. So it's called the concrete sand. It's what they use when they make concrete for the sand mix. It's kind of bigger, but it's bought from a quarry.
Okay. And then the other question with regards to the dog beach, what type of enclosure or fencing is going to be established?
Yeah.
I imagine that there's going to be something, but I don't really see any indication on the plan.
So there will be a fence. This is the tentative alignment of the mesh.
Oh, never mind. All right.
Yeah, it is there.
All right, I do see it now.
More details than that, I don't have yet. We're
trying to where it has the fence. Says fence. All right, I didn't look up in that corner.
Yeah, we're exploring. We've been exploring the fence option for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
What's the best fence to keep the
And we're aware that's going to be a maintenance issue ongoing. Anytime you put a fence along the beach line, yeah, that's an ongoing maintenance issue. But
that's what we're exploring, because where we put in there, that's not going to fall over.
It'll get damaged in the first wave storm. Right. So yeah, it is a little bit of a...
But it's a challenge.
We want to keep the marsh plant, the dogs out of the marsh plant, and so yeah, we're going to try to put something there for sure. Mm-hmm.
I'm fully in favor of living shorelines. However, I'm wondering if a living shoreline is going to be adequate protection for the amphitheater in this situation.
I'm pretty confident that it's going to be, because if you think about it, the shoreline itself is about, I don't know, a third or a quarter of the size of what this is. This is going to be a pretty big structure. I can go to the cross section, you can see. Well, of course, we use the sill part, but this has a crest elevation of about 4.5 above mean low water. So it's a pretty beefy structure. If the regulators let us do it, because they also have a say that's typically the opposite of make them as small as possible, lower footprint. But we're thinking of, we're going to need something big and beefy here. We're going to have all this area here, so when the waves do come in, they'll be broken down even further by this marsh, and that's another reason marsh is great for acting as a buffer for wave energy and large storm events. And then finally, they'll have this dune, this additional little dune here that is going to act as the final line of defense to protect that path and then the amphitheater. So, I mean, if we get like a crazy kind of Hurricane Isabel type storm, then yes, there could be impacts. The water may actually reach the amphitheater, but we're trying to design, not for the absolute worst case scenario, because then that would impact what our marsh habitat would look like, because we would be filling too high for marsh to grow. So it's definitely kind of a balancing act of how do we protect against it, but still have the environmental benefits that we're aiming to have today. So.
Now, the trees that you're taking down, what trees are they and where are they?
The trees that have to be taken down, they're a little bit scattered. So I will say one area where for sure we will likely have to take down a few trees is this, where we're fixing this revetment right here. So this is kind of very, very close to where the path failed. In front of the amphitheater. So these trees right here, I think there's maybe like 8 trees that we'll have to take down, just because it would be impossible to get the equipment over here to build. So, but all those will be replanted, and then a couple more in addition to that, in the exact same area, but just to access it, we'll have to take those down. And then I think the other trees that we think we may have to take down is getting to the where the dog beach is. Once we get where the stairs are right now, there's a few trees that are kind of within the path that the trucks are going to need to get down there. So we'll have to take down, I think, maybe 3 trees there,
and then there may be like one or two trees along the along what's currently the paved path that are just a smidge too close and the truck wouldn't be able to fit. We're really trying to keep the trees down to a minimum of what we do take down, but we will be required to replant and then some, definitely, by the Critical Area Commission.
Is it going to impact any of the cypress trees that are next to the amphitheater?
No. Those, definitely not the ones next to the amphitheater. So, like I said, the only ones next to it would be the ones that are directly against that revetment, between that path, the walking path, and the current revetment. Those are the only ones. All the other ones, this is a pretty open area, the trucks can get around and the tree that's there.
Anything else? Okay, if you think of anything, any questions or comments, within 2 weeks from this meeting, you can either email me, or like I said, you can get on the OPZ website, and you can look under past meetings, and then there will be a section you can just hit the comment button, and it goes directly to me as well. Thank you.
Thank you.